John chapter number 4 and verse number 23. John chapter 4 and verse number 23. Praise God. The word of the Lord, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, I said the true worshipers, shall worship the Father, how? In spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. So if He's looking for anything this evening, ladies and gentlemen, what is He looking for? I'm telling you tonight, the way that we wage war against the enemy is to worship the God of our salvation, and He will win the battle against the enemy for us. Matthew 27, verses 7 through 9. Matthew 27, verses 7 through 9. And they took counsel and brought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value. With that being said, I want to preach to you for just a few moments the personal importance of worship. The personal importance of worship. When I'm done, I want you to understand why it's paramount and important, pertinent, that you no longer simply observe others worshiping God. And let me clear something right now. Worship, I'm speaking of true worship to the Lord. It has no requirements. It is the only thing that has no requirements. Anybody from anywhere doing whatever you've done, being whatever you are, come as you are and worship the Lord. Because my Bible said, let everything. Listen to me now. It said everything. Let everything praise the Lord. And so, I would venture to say, in this congregation tonight, there's a little bit of everything. That being said, let us worship the Lord. I've never seen anyone receive God with their mouth shut. I've never seen anyone healed with their mouth shut. I've never seen anyone delivered with their mouth shut. I've never seen anyone get what they need from God with their mouth shut. But just the very moment that the hallelujahs begin to come out, the very moment, as David said, the lifting of my hands is just like the evening sacrifice. The very moment you begin to give God praise, that's the very moment that He begins to come in and to shove away everything that's not like Him. And so for no other reason at all, that's one reason why we ought to praise Him tonight. Let everything that hath breath praise you, the Lord. Amen. God help us tonight. You may be seated. Those of you whom God has endowed with both spirit and truth, you're under a divine mandate from the Word of God to worship Him. It is a command. And it shouldn't even have to be commanded. Just like the foolishness of preaching, shouldn't even have to be any preaching the way God has shown Himself in the last centuries. However, I do not worship Him because I have to. Maturity with God really begins to show forth when worship transforms into get to instead of got to. When you come to the house of God and you stop feeling like you got to and start feeling like you get to, you're getting somewhere with God. And yet I worship Him for other reasons as well. Number one, I want to worship Him. I'm going to give you four simple points and I'm gone. But number one, I worship Him tonight to prove to Him and to prove to the enemy and to prove to whoever else is listening that there is no other God. I ought to call the Asian pastor and let him know everything's all right because I just prayed Buddha through in a Chinese restaurant not long ago. I showed that to Brother Khan. That's what he did. He said, "My Lord, his hands are up." I said, "It was perfect timing." He said, "My God, he's smiling." I said, "You would too if you just received the Holy Ghost." He don't know how to take me yet. It takes a while. Hallelujah. And so I told him I prayed Buddha through. I know that didn't happen, but I know this. Buddha's not my God. Hare Krishna's not my God. My God is Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God in the flesh. Right? He said he shall come and he shall save his people from their sins. So if I worship, love, or care for something, anything else more than I worship him, that becomes my God. Deuteronomy 8:19, "And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. There is but one God, and him alone shalt thou serve. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Isaiah 43:11, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. My worship is important because I must remind the devil who Jesus is. Because every now and then, he forgets. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's King of everything. Am I right? He's my soon coming king. He's my conquering king. He's my Rose of Sharon king. He's my Lily of the Valley king. He's my day star king. He's my cloud by day, my fire by night king. He's my sure king, my pure king, my powerful king. He's my everlasting king. He's my hope king. He's my help king. He's my everything king. Hallelujah. Amen. And so it is. It's good to note, at the Lord's weakest point and at Satan's strongest, Jesus still overcame. In other words, the devil came against Jesus at his best day, and Jesus was at his worst day. He still triumphed over the enemy of our souls. There was nothing the enemy could do to him on his best day. Jesus is the body of God. God is the Spirit of Jesus. And the Bible says they are one. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? The enemy proved his ignorance when he tried to tempt God in the flesh with things that already belonged to him. "I'll give you this." And the Lord said, "Right. I made you and I made that too." Well, I worship him because I belong to him as well. I worship him because I'm one of his creations as well. And you ought to worship him because you're one of his creations as well. Don't you wait until you feel worthy to worship the Lord. Amen. You'll never be worthy to worship my God. Isaiah said, "Even your righteousness looks to him like filthy rags." So do as much as you can. Be as right as you possibly can. But you get your carcass in here and you worship him with everything you've got. You give him glory. You give him honor. You give him praise and you lift him up. Hallelujah. Maybe you're ashamed of that, but I am not ashamed. My worship to the one true God is vital, lest I perish. Number two, the second reason I worship is so important is my worship is so important because we are the only thing God created that can volunteer our praise and our worship. Everything else done what it was supposed to do. Amen. When the flowers burst forth in the spring, they sprout out in beautiful color. And just a banquet of different colors all over America and around the world. And there for the Lord to enjoy. When they burst forth in their flowering and their beautiful color, the Lord receives that as worship. When the gentle breeze blows through the pine and it begins to sway to a certain rhythm, it is known to be giving God praise. I'm just telling you, everything else done what it was supposed to do. But with you and I, we can sit on it all day long and never offer it. We can clam up, shut up, sit down, and never get up. Amen. But I, tonight, for one, I want to volunteer my praise. He's worthy. I said the Lamb of God is worthy. I want to give Him praise when I don't feel it. I want to give Him praise in the morning. I want to give Him praise in the evening. I want to give Him praise at noontime. I want to praise Him all day long. I want Him to know nothing else is going to outpraise me, because You've done more for me than You have anything else. I don't have to praise God. I get to praise God. The devil thought praise and worship was done away with at Calvary when Jesus bowed His head and died. But what he found out was that when Jesus said, "It's finished," he wasn't talking to himself. He was talking to the devil. I'm serving notice. A new day has dawned. The Old Testament is gone and the new has arrived. And I'm not saying it's finished to my church. Honey, it has just begun. And if you thought you had a bad day when I cast you out of heaven, you're in for the worst days in your life, because I'm going to build the church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, what do you think about that? Hallelujah. I don't know how you feel about it, but I have no problem worshiping a God like that. I can understand the world's dilemma. Their God is dead. Their God is lifeless. Their God is inconsiderate. Their God is deaf. He's mute, unreachable, untouchable, and He's unable. Hallelujah. But my God is alive and well. Let me tell you about my God. He's a healer, preventer. He's a prevailer. Amen. He's a provider. He's Lord and King. He's everything. He came once. He's coming again. He's coming soon. It's not Christmas, so He's not a baby anymore. Hallelujah. It's Easter every day, because He's the risen, resurrected Savior of the world. My Savior, your Savior, our Savior, and their Savior. He's not part-time. He's on time, every time, all the time. And I can worship a God like that. Number three, the third reason my worship is important is because it's the only thing I have to give that He will not give Himself. I can become a big rancher and own a lot of cattle and horses, sheep and goats. But He's already got it. The only thing He refuses to do is worship Himself. And so if He needs anything tonight, what does He need, ladies and gentlemen? I'm teaching you that every time the doors crack open and you step in the door, you ought to shout hallelujah. Every time you walk down the hall toward the prayer room, as soon as you step in there, you ought to shout praise the Lord. Because it's something He refuses to give to Himself, and something He needs so desperately. Our hour has come. John 4:23, "But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." If there's anything that God needs that only you and I can give, it's worship. The Bible said He seeks it. Did you hear that? The Bible said He's looking for it. He's on a journey. Amen. I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm telling you, there has been services at Landmark that I believe God Almighty Himself stepped into this house. And when He steps in, I got a feeling He's looking for something. And if He's looking for something, what's it going to be? The Scripture has already told us. It's not a mystery. He's looking for worship. Because He's looking for it in spirit and in truth. Lord, look no further and have a seat. I've got something to show you tonight. I've got something to offer, and I've got something to give you tonight. It's been welling up all week, and I just couldn't wait to get to the house of God and give it to you. Has anybody got any worship left? Amen. This is the generation. This is the church. This is the time. We should worship and praise Him more than any other generation that ever existed, because we know more than any other generation that has ever come before us. The Bible says, "To whom much is given, much is required." I want to come up to my requirements, especially when it comes to worship. He's not indebted to me. I am indebted to Him. The final reason, the fourth reason my worship is so important, is because I need Him way, 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 way more than He needs me. I'm not going to come in here pious with a little money in my pocket and a fine car in the parking lot, a good wife and a nice family, a good home and food on the table, food in the cabinet. And I'm not going to come in here all pious and proud and sit down like God ought to be proud of me that I came, especially twice in the same day. I'm going to come in here and say, thank you, Lord, that you would even open the doors to me. Thank you that you would even have a place for me to sit. Thank you that you would even allow me to lift my hands. Thank you that you would even allow me. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I both could have been born in a third world country and still chunking spears for groceries that night. But look what the Lord has done. He has provided. He has prevented. And He has cared for us. Just one more time, lift your voice. He lives in the praises and the worship of His people. I need that. I need that. We are weak things, foolish things. We are base things that were not even in existence. Solomon spoke of the coney, the rock rabbit. And he said, they hide in the rocks. That's where I hide. My wife sings it, that the soldier is a child. He said, the spider takes hold with her hands and she lives in king's palaces. Did you know that something so destructive as a termite can be destroyed with a simple spray of water? Did you know that we could be destroyed so easily? Did you know that there's cancer out there? Did you know there's disease and confusion? Did you know there's bankruptcy? My son and his wife went to do some banking last Tuesday. They happened to be just a little bit late that day than normal. Had they been there on time, they would have been in the middle of a bank robbery. They were turned away from the bank because they were just now starting to take fingerprints and what have you. Newspaper said an undisclosed amount, that means a lot of money, was stolen. They could have been hurt. But the Lord prevented that. Somebody ought to say, what a God. Hallelujah. There's bankruptcy. There's drugs, alcohol. There's cigarette addiction. There's accidents, fatalities, hospital stays, divorce courts, and on and on and on. I worship Him because I need Him. I don't have the muscle, the fortitude to fight like He has. I don't have the amount of love, character, mercy, forgiveness that He has. I don't have the amount of get back up that He has. Hallelujah. Amen. In Luke chapter 17 and 12, there was a great healing that took place. Let's look at it. Luke chapter 17, verse number 12, and I'm done. Hallelujah. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off because they were not allowed to walk in public. But when the Lord approached them and touched them, he healed them, and they left delivered. Isn't that awesome? A little while later, one of them came back to give him praise. And Jesus asked, where's the nine? Where's the nine? Where are the other ones that I healed? Where are the other ones that I blessed? Where are the other ones that I've touched so many times? Would you stand tonight? Can I show you something kind of interesting? Look with me at Isaiah 59 and 19. Isaiah 59 and 19. I'm going to show you something that we can do here. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. When we worship Him and have faith and walk in Him, He will take that comma right after the flood. You see that? You see that? Wow. It says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, when we do what we have already done tonight, he will take that comma right after the flood and put it right past the end, the I-N. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. I want God to change the comma in somebody's life right now. And I want the Holy Ghost to come in like a flood. Like a flood. And raise up a standard against your enemy. If you feel the need, I want you to come to stand. You don't have to. This whole sanctuary is an altar tonight. But if you would, and you desire it, why don't you come and let the Lord move the comma for you tonight. And we're not going to pressure him. We're not going to push him. We're just going to worship him. We're going to magnify and glorify him. We're going to honor him and thank him. Let's lift our voices together. Let's lift our praises together. Let's lift the glory. Let's lift the glory. Let's lift the glory. Lift the glory. The glory. The glory. The glory. Oh, the Holy Ghost, the anointing. The Holy Ghost flow right now.
This is my daily bread.
This is my daily bread.
Your very word spoken to me.
To me. This is what I am. This is who I am.
This is the air I breathe.
This is the air that I breathe. I live to worship him.
Your holy presence.
Your holy presence. Your presence.
Living.
This is what I do every day. This is what I do.
Your very word spoken to me.
In me.
And I I'm desperate for you. Oh yeah.
Oh, sweet Holy Ghost. Just take a moment and offer it to him right now. What you're giving is what he's been looking for. What you're doing is what he's been searching for. What you're offering right now is what our God has been hungering for.
This is what I am. Your man.
Let's celebrate. Our brother has received the Holy Ghost tonight. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, take this with you. Shake hands. Hug someone's neck. Greet one another. Give somebody a good positive word. Something that will strengthen them for their tomorrow.